Ladies, Chodesh Halvav this year, Sunday afternoon, Shiur HaBitachon, December 20th, Ches Teves, the 9th Shiur of Chorev Tavshin Ayin Vav. Shiur HaBitachon, Shiur 9 of Chorev Tavshin Ayin Vav. Okay, we're doing Chodesh Halvav, Shiur HaBitachon, we're in Perek Dalet. We're going through the list of seven, if they're teaching us in Perek Beis and Kol, how to acquire Midos HaBitachon. Perek Dalet teaches us how to apply it in all the scenarios of life that can come up. He has a list of seven areas. We're in the middle of area number two, which is money. 80%, 90%, because of others talks about Gashmius and Olam Hazeh, he talks about money. That is indeed, in general, in general, that's what we're busy with most of the day in our Olam Hazeh lives. Most of the time, hopefully. So he's talking now about having more money than you need. So, okay, that's, you have to determine what's called you need. So he's talking about sometimes, so his first point in this, in his discussion of this category, is that hishtadlus is a waste of time, it's a waste of time to do more work and to take a second job or whatever the case may be, because you want more money, there's no heter for, and the mail is a waste of your time. You're either going to have more money or not. The gzeres hakosu, the din, the rotzon Hashem, the obligation to do hishtadlus is only up to the point of what you need. So again, people don't really know, especially we're living in a time of great shefa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's hard to know the difference between. It's not hard to know the difference, but people killed themselves. Someone sent me a very nice video. Maybe I'll send it to someone. You'll send it around. A man, I guess, he was walking in the street, and he had a coat. And the coat was full of dollar bills. He had pasted dollar bills onto the whole coat, front and back, like hundreds of dollar bills. And he was walking around with a sign that says, take what you need. Take what you need. So, it shows different people. Like one guy comes over, it blocks everybody's face. One guy comes over and he starts rearing, like shoving it into his pocket. The guy says, you really need all of this? And his answer was, no, but it's free money. Like, why shouldn't I take it? The next person comes, a lady comes, she starts taking money. He says, you're holding us some sort of fancy handbag. She has some fancy, he says, you really need this money? She says, yeah, tomorrow I'm doing my nails. And then a third person comes, and then, this is an amazing video, maybe they doctored it, I don't know, it's hard to believe it's true, then a bum laying in the street goes over to him and takes $2. He says, that's all you need? He says, yeah, I need for food for today. She says, what about for tomorrow? He says, tomorrow, I'll worry about tomorrow. But this is what I need today. Give the rest of the money out to other people. This is what I need. So he said, wow, you're like, Ishmael but something. And the guy was a bum. He had a bum with a dog. He had a dog, rather. But he was a bum. He was in the street laying down. So he gave him a prayer. He gave him $60. He said, well, here's enough time. But that's, so you see, so to the first person, okay, he didn't say he needed it. The second lady said she needed it because you're doing her nails tomorrow. That was her need. And a third person, I forgot what they said. And then the fourth person said, this is what I need for today. $2. And he took two. This is someone who sent it to you, because we were talking about it on Friday night at Onik Shabbos. So if you want to send me an email, I'll send it to you too. You can watch the video. Very nice. Very cute. Anyway, so The Chayim Shalvavos can't do more than give us klalim. You know, everybody's going to have to decide for themselves what to be, and you can't kid yourself. You know. Then there's always, as I say, it's very hard nowadays to say, people who have a store, say I can close my store at 2, I make enough money. Let's say we work with the unit of a month. I think most people nowadays work with the unit of a month. Right, that's how you pay your bills, and that's how bills come in once a month, and that's how you make your cash payments with your credit cards and the mortgage or the rent by the month. So they say, I know if I keep my store open till 2, so I can make enough money for the month. So theoretically, you're supposed to close at 2. But so nowadays, someone, it might even be true. Yeah, it might be true that. In today's economy, if a customer comes at 4 and you're closed, so they're not going to come back to you at 9 o'clock in the morning just because you're open from 9 to 2. Because people have lives now, they carry a smartphone around with them. People have to have 24 hour a day shopping. You're getting there, so we're getting there. There's a Makolet in my neighborhood. I live in Yerushalayim, like in the last of the old Yerushalmi neighborhoods. But the Makolet just put up a sign, he's open Motzei Shabbos from 7:30 to midnight. That's sad. I mean, it's sad in a way. It's not sad if you want to buy something, I guess. But that's the point. Like, people need the Makolet open now, always. Even like a little local Makolet, say they open Motzei Shabbos, 7:30 to 12. It's a Yerida Hadoros. But anyway, but we got to get past that. The Lord is teaching us bitachon. So, you know, at some point, if we're honest, we know that I don't really need that, but I want to have more money. I want to lead a more comfortable life, which is wonderful. The point of the Chayim Shalvavos is not, this is not Shaar HaPrishus now. If we ever learn Shaar HaPrishus, then we'll learn Shaar HaPrishus. Prishus meaning to not have things that you don't need. He's just saying hishtadlus is, I would use the word usur, but again, we're talking about hishtadlus, we're not dealing with something that's technically usur. But it's a flaw in bitachon. There's no het there. There's no din. There's no hishtadlus. It doesn't exist for more than what you need. This is a chiddush of the Chayim Shalvavos. And because the din of hishtadlus is only up to what you need. After that, it's gzeiras Hashem. So again, it's much more complicated. This might seem simplistic. No one's going to listen to this anyway, so I don't have to give you any excuses. Okay? First of all, it's difficult to determine what you need. And second of all, always the question is putting aside money for retirement or for marrying off children. Is that called a need? Then the question is, do I really close my store from 2 o'clock on? My boss certainly is not going to tell me I can stop working at 2 because he'll pay me this much and that's all I need. My boss wants me to work till 5. He doesn't care about the kind of time I'm lost. So that's another thing. And then sometimes a person is doing something, like I said, a doctor can't stop at 2, there's still patients, but a doctor, he's doing something worthwhile. We said, you're always supposed to be doing something worthwhile, that's how you pick a profession. So you pick something worthwhile. So once it's worthwhile, so then you could rationalize that I should do more hishtadlus, because my hishtadlus anyway is helping people, doing something constructive for the world. Like, why should I stop? So, you know, you can have constructive, someone's a graphic artist. So they pick that, it meets the criteria, and it's something constructive. The world nowadays needs graphic artists, so you do it. But it's not, I don't think it's the type of constructiveness that you say, oh, I have to work till 6 instead of till 2, because the world needs me for those 4 hours also. If anybody's a graphic artist, so they only call you the day before they need it, and they want you to stay up all night and create it. And, you know, and I'll give you notice. The Rabbi Goddess has to work always for tomorrow, or for yesterday. So that's also another complication. But as I said last time, there's different cheshbonos come into play, even a doctor. So up till the point where he's earning money that he needs, so he has to do that. Once he starts thinking, but I'm helping people, how can I close? But then it's a different equation, as I said last time. It becomes a different equation. Then you have to take into account, but what about my own spiritual growth? So then you have to, it just becomes a different equation. You have to take different things into account. Yeah. Any other question?
Yeah, I do have a question, because I am a doctor, and I don't understand.
But you're lucky, because you're a lady, and you don't have a chiyuv Talmud Torah. So I would say your primary chiyuv after the house, after the family, is chesed, and you're doing chesed when you're being a doctor. So you don't have the nesoyim.
So I don't have to consider anything about.
I don't know. Don't have to. You have to think. I don't know you. I don't even know your name. Are you a good doctor? Tell me. I want to send people to you.
I'm not a proper doctor, as many. I'm a child psychiatrist.
We need you even more. My goodness, if you're any good, I have a whole slew of people waiting to see you.
But can I come back to Freud your name? Because I yes. See that one doesn't happen.
I'm serious about, though, a woman, so her chesbonos would have to be her primary obligation. I don't want to talk about you personally now, so I'm talking in general. If I was talking to a woman, I would say, well, you make sure, the first thing is, I'm not talking to you.
Okay.
The first thing I would tell, if I was talking to a woman, so the first thing I would say is, do you have to work at all? You sure you have to work? Maybe your husband's earning enough money. You're supposed to be an Azer Connecto. Are you sure you have to work? So the answer might be, yes, I have to work to meet our needs, because nowadays, unfortunately, the economy is such that generally you need two people bringing in money to make ends meet, generally. Or you say, I'm fulfilling my household duties. I'm there for my children, I'm there for my husband, and I meet the criterion of some others. I think I'm a rather good doctor. I know that they need my services, so I'm performing a service that's needed. I think I'm good at it. I think I'm cut out for it. These are the criterion of Chazal Lomas at the end of Perek Gimel. So I'm doing it. So now I don't have to cut back on my. So then I would say, okay, that's the way it works. That's fine. That's great. How much should you work? Well, again, you have to just keep an eye on if you're not. A person has to keep an eye on their, to a woman. See, a man has it much harder. A man has it harder because he has a chiyuv Talmud Torah that is, you can appreciate, is very pervasive, and it's very, well, and like when you're not, a man is supposed to be learning all the time, except when he's doing whatever he's allowed to do, which could be 8 hours a day if he's earning a living. He's allowed to do that, and surprisingly to most people he's supposed to do that. And the woman, I would say, make sure that your family is not suffering. I guess that would be the primary thing. Are you sure that, you know, the woman, I would say, you know, you're a doctor, you know, make sure you keep any halachas. I don't know, maybe there could be yichud sometimes, and make sure you're not there, and make sure your family is not suffering because of this. And then if you want to do extra hours, you're involved in a tremendous chesed kol hakavod. The fact that there's money involved, maybe I would suggest, not to you, I would suggest figuring out, many people need services such as this and can't afford it. So I would suggest maybe once you passed a certain point, you could figure out a way to offer a sliding scale of fee for families that need it and can't afford it. So maybe figure out a way, because again, the Chazal Lovus' rule is still true. that you're not going to have more money than you need because you're doing more hishtatlus. But in the case of a doctor happens to be a unique example because it's so totally chesed and totally needed and totally people, especially good doctors, people need. Especially nowadays, a caring doctor is like worth gold. Because it became so socialized that sometimes it's hard to be a caring doctor. Okay, that's my answer. Maybe that's what I'll say. If I was talking to a woman, I would say, maybe consider, so many people need this service and it's very expensive, consider that, because the money doesn't make a difference. The hishtadlus is not for the money, you can have whatever money you need. Okay, that's my answer to you. And then check the other things, if the primary responsibilities, we'll call it. Okay. An issue that really has to be grappled with, but that's not really, it's not for this class, because I'm trying to learn Chayvus Halavus. Because again, you talk about need, and right away what comes up, as I say, is saving money for retirement, saving money to marry off children. Nowadays we have to save money to marry off grandchildren. Lord knows the children have no money, so how are you going to marry your grandkid? No, nobody knows yet. That explosion is starting to come. But it's a tough period. We're going to learn the Chayim Zalavs and Perik Vav, and he's going to sound like it's absolutely forbidden to put money into a retirement fund. That's what it's going to sound like. So we'll, because he says that. That's what it sounds like. But he would be talking about taking, to get what you need, you do everything. Even if you left, a man, I would say, even if you're left with 5 minutes a day to learn, you have to do it. You have a responsibility to earn money and to support your family. Once you're young, right? So then you say, what about a need like saving money? This is the point. Once they need like saving money, I go, no. If it's only going to leave you 5 minutes to learn, then I don't call that a need at all. Save money for retirement, and because of that, you can only learn 5 minutes a day instead of an hour and a half a day. That's what the Chayim Zalavus is saying. That's not a need to save money for retirement. That's right. Too many variables and too many this, and what happens if you're going to spend your whole life saving for retirement, and people die at 40, people die at 50, people die before they retire, and they come up to the Eibishter, and their pockets are empty of Talmud Torah, so they were saving money for their retirement. The Eibishter says, who's going to live here since retirement? A lot of variables. Maybe he'll move in with his children who have the house that he bought them. So the least they can do is give him a room. Then there's the Yiddish expression, right? A mama can oisam ten kinder, and some kinder can oisam nine mama. We'll find that out when we get really old. Okay? But then they fight over whose turn it is to visit you in the nursing home. It's your turn. No, it's your turn. I just went yesterday. It's a tough call, but that's what I have to hold. I hold saving for retirement is not on that level of need. You have to weigh different things. But that's really at this whole separate discussion, what's called a need. If someone tells me they need a car, we become very needy. It's like we know that our children, who we have spoiled, we all spoil our children. I know I did. Well, Hashem, because there's a shefa, and we want to give things like we grew up without, maybe, or you want to give, but then they become needy. So we're all needy. We're all spoiled children who have become very needy, and everything is a need. You say you're only allowed to earn money for what you need, and all of a sudden, I need a vacation. I need a vacation. Very normal sentence. No one would think it's an unusual sentence. I need a vacation. So you have to have money for vacations. I don't know. There's no real answer. There's no objective answer. I'm sure in the times of the Chayvus Halavus, a vacation was not a need. I'm sure an air conditioner was obviously not a need. They survived without it. I'm not sure if nowadays an air conditioner is a need. That sounds crazy. Probably is, I don't know. There's no answer to these questions. But that's for sure, we fool ourselves. We're not really as honest as we should be about what a need is. This lady had a need. She was doing her nails tomorrow. She needed the money. That's what she said. It's on the video. We caught her on video. You have some sort of handbag. What do you really need this money? She's going to do my nails tomorrow. But the point is very important. Again, I'm not learning any text. I'll go back to what I always say. If a person has accomplished Perek Beis and Perek Gimel and has developed some sort of bitachon, not the nth madrega, because that's literally a lifetime of work, but if a person has been koneh to some significant degree midas habitachon, they can usually answer these questions themselves. Their neshama has become more refined and more sensitive to bitachon and hishtadlus, and they feel when they've stepped over the line and they're doing this because they lack bitachon, or and really they shouldn't be doing it. They talk to themselves. It's an introspection. That's why it's called Chalvus Halavavos, because you need introspection to know. But we learn Chalvus Halavavos, and it's not like learning Shulchan Aruch, you know, how much dough needs challah taken from it. We give an exact measurement, and I can tell you this many cups of flour, or this many kilograms. But the principle is important, and the principle is that more money than you need, there's no heter hishtadlus. That's a principle. And even that people can't handle. Because they tell them, you mean if I'm stacking shelves in a supermarket and I'm making enough money to live on, I am going to end up with the same amount of money as if I'd be, let's say, a doctor, or as if I'd be a businessman, and I bought companies, and I buy stocks, and I have portfolios, and I have the same money? That's absurd. So the answer to that is, it's not absurd, but you're looking at it through the wrong end of the telescope. When the Gzeira was, if you're going to be rich or poor, that's when you were born. To a lesser degree, every Rosh Hashanah. So the reason you're stacking shelves is because the Gzeira was, you're going to have just enough money to live on, and you're not going to have more money than that. So Hashem worked out your life that you're stacking shelves. And he gave you that much opportunity, and I don't want to say that much seichel. The guy stacking shelves might be a genius. Just things didn't work out for him. Many people are very clever and things didn't work out for them. And because he was supposed to have more money, Hashem has no problem with Ashirim. The others were fabulously wealthy. Hashem has no problem with Ashirim. The Gemara that says that the Malach calls out what the child's going to be, Ashir Oni, and everything in between Ashir Oni. So that's how your life worked out. We're looking at, see, this is because we lack bitachon, so to speak. When you lack bitachon, you mix up cause and effect. You say, I have extra money and it's a good thing because my carburetor broke, my car. I need a new engine. My daughter needs braces. Is there an orthodontist here in the room? I don't want to get into trouble. Okay, my daughter needs braces. And if you have bitachon, you realize that maybe the reason you're doing these braces, and maybe the reason your carburetor broke is because you have too much money. Yeah, you're earning a lot of money, and that's what the Chazal says, it's a waste of time. Hashem works with netto. Hashem doesn't work with bruto. Hashem works with netto. This is how much money you're going to have. So if you took a second job and you're earning more money, because Hashem's not going to make a nace that you're not going to earn money, so you'll spend it. You'll spend it on, there'll be a gnev in your house, which happens. We look at it the wrong way. When you don't have bitachon, my nose is bleeding because you punched me in the nose. And when you have bitachon, then you know that he punched you in the nose because your nose was supposed to bleed. So this is how Hashem maneuvered that your nose should bleed, and he punched you. And if he wouldn't have punched you, your nose would have bled a different way. You would have fallen down and smashed your nose on the floor. This is all part of Midas HaBitachon. Okay. So, yeah.
Having more money than you need, does it mean you didn't give enough to doctors?
No, it doesn't mean that. Actually, there are rich people. Hashem's goals are only Oshir and everything in the middle. That's what I'm saying. It's a din of ishtadlus is what Chaim Lvovitz's problem is.
No,
don't work more the principle. Don't work more or take an extra job or even ask for a raise. Just have more money. You're either going to have more money or you're not going to have more money. That's the point. The ishtadlus. It's fine to have more money. The others were fabulously wealthy. Hashem loves rich people. Kohen Gadol had to be rich. A Navi had to be rich. There's quality of being rich. There's nothing wrong with being rich, as Tevye says in Fiddle on the Roof. Right? No shame to be poor, he says, but it's no great honor either. You know, there's nothing wrong with being rich. He's talking about Hishtadlus. Don't do Hishtadlus to be rich. It's a waste of time.
I understand, but you mentioned that you could have car expenses, for instance, because you have more money than you need.
If it was nigzer on you to have a certain amount of money, you're not going to circumvent that gezeirah by taking another job. Hashem will figure out a way that you have to spend money and you don't have that money that you think you have because you took a second job. Mm-hmm. But we look at it, Baruch Hashem, I have a second job because my carburetor broke. Hashem's laughing. Your carburetor broke because you took a second job. Yeah.
But if you're rich, does that mean you don't have to work? Let's say you inherit money, or let's say you're rich.
If I was talking to a man who inherited money, I would say you have an obligation to learn a whole day. If you can't learn a whole day because you don't have the mental stamina for it, so go become an askin, do chesed a whole day. Right? You don't do something spiritual a whole day. You have no excuse to do ishtadlus. You have no excuse.
Can you take up the point that this lady made about stocker, though?
About what? I'm sorry.
About giving tzedakah.
Well, certainly you should give miser. Certainly you should give miser. I don't know if all the rich people in the world give miser. 10% is a lot. And really you're supposed to give a fifth, not a tenth. I mean, a tenth is the minimum. A fifth is what you're supposed to give. People don't know. Chomer is what you want. So I don't know if you're meaning that. So if you, look, the Chavis Halava says in Shara Avodah Salokim, if a person has 10 bushels and he gives miser, so he gives 1 bushel, and a person has 100 bushels and he gives 9 bushels, so he's doing something. He gets an avera. What do you mean I get an avera? I gave 9 bushels. That guy gave 1. That's not fair. It's very fair because you have 100, so you were supposed to give 10, not 9. So halachically, you give a tenth, and you really should give a fifth. If you have a lot of money, so you become a philanthropist. Bill Gates just gave away $10 billion he gave away. I don't know if he really did or not. He made a big announcement. Wait. So certainly, again, a person should sit down with his rav, or she should sit down with her rav, and say, how much stock should I really be giving? You know, because I can do more, really. So do I do more? You don't have to give. Chazal say, don't give more than a fifth. Right? Don't give more than a fifth. You know, the Torah is not socialist. The Torah is capital. Oh, what's so funny? The Torah's economic system is capitalist. And there's a mitzvah of tzedakah, and there's a law of ribis, and there's a law of ono'ah, not to cheat someone. So it's not laissez-faire. See, I remember things from school. Look at that. It's not laissez-faire capitalism. It's capitalism with like gevulim. But the economic system itself is very capitalist. Right? You're free. You know? So you're not supposed to be living on a kibbutz, sharing. That's not the Torah's economy. Yeah.
So one person has a car engine that dies, and he's been concerned that Alpi Derech HaTeva with his 15-year-old car, something like that is going to happen, so he's put aside the money. You're saying that maybe the car engine would not have died if he hadn't?
You're asking, should a person, let me rephrase your question. Should a person take a second job in order, should a person, let's say the normal work is 8 hours a day. Should a person work 9 hours a day in order to have money in case his 15-year-old car breaks down.
Or his child needs braces or whatever.
Yeah, so that's called working. So again, if I was talking to a man, he would have, I would say, how much are you learning every day? A man, that's just the nature of things. A man has this pressing pressure to learn. It does. And therefore, the equation shifts. To a woman, I would say, you know, what's your family situation? What obligations do you have to your family? If it means you're not going to be there when your kids come home from school, or you're not going to have supper on the table on time, or if the house becomes somewhat dysfunctional. So I wouldn't call that a primary need on the level of the first category of the Chayes HaLovers. I would call it in the second category. You want more money than you need because you want to put it away for a rainy day.
But what happens to the person who says, I will have bitachon, and they don't put it away, and the car engine dies, or the child needs braces?
You have bitachon. Hashem will Hashem will send a mild winter, and you won't have a big fuel bill. Hashem is very smart.
So that would be mutter.
He'll work it out. He'll work out that you have whatever money you were supposed to get. If your car died because you weren't zochet for a nace to happen, and your car finally died, so your daughter won't need braces, or your children won't badger you to buy them new dresses, or new whatever. And we spend money in so many ways that Hashem can, it's a joke, Hashem can do anything, but Hashem can easily maneuver that you'll have whatever money you need.
Have you committed an avera if you haven't done proper maintenance on it? And then they
I don't know. Bitachon and Ishtadlus is not an avera or a mitzvah. I can't turn to someone who doesn't have any bitachon and say, you're doing an avera. Maybe according to Ben Yonah, the din of not to be afraid of the Mulchama, that's already a technical thing. I would say you're a fool because you're not facing, you're not aware, as I am very fond of saying, bitachon is not a question of frumkeit, it's a question of facing reality. Bitachon is only being in touch with reality. The reality is that Hashem runs the world. The reality is Hashem has exactly what's going to happen to everybody. The reality is that nothing's going to happen to you if Hashem doesn't want it to happen to you, and nothing will not happen to you if Hashem does want it to happen to you. That's the reality. Bitachon is really just training ourselves, because everything we see and every newspaper we read and every news report we hear and everything we experience is anti-bitachon. We see a world of cause and effect. We see a world where my nose is bleeding because someone punched me. This one was hurt because someone smashed into it. So that's what we see. And it's a lifelong task to say that there's a Hashem in the world who's real. And it's all bitachon is, if you think about it, you'll see, all bitachon is, it's not a frumkeit. It's really just being in touch with reality. Because it's true that Chazal wasn't about making up stories because he wants you to be from. he's describing the reality to you. Hashem's deciding how much money you're going to have. And really, you shouldn't have to do any hishtatlus. He spent a lot of paragraphs back in Perek Gimel explaining, we don't do it, again, if I say, oh yeah, you do hishtatlus. Everybody in the room always breathes a sigh of relief. Why do you breathe a sigh of relief? Because we don't really have bitachon. We don't really believe that Hashem makes a desire din, and that's going to happen no matter what. We don't believe that. I'm sorry. I also don't. Fully. So we breathe a sigh of relief. We shouldn't be breathing a sigh of relief. I should hear groans, not sighs of relief. Oh, darn it, I have to go to work. And the Chayes HaLovers spends time and Perek Gimel and effort and intellectual gymnastics to explain why we do Hishtadlus, why do we have to. So that's what he says when he gets to Perek Daled. He says, but more than that, you're wasting your time. He's not getting, he doesn't want you to be frum. He wants you to be real. He wants you to be realistic. you're going to have what you're going to have. Hashem is Kol Yachol. Hashem is running the world. So really acquiring Midas Bitachon and living with it, which is the hardest thing in the world. It's hard because everything we experience and read and hear mitigates against it. And when you, if you try to show a little bitachon and do a little less, people say you're not being practical. Yeah, you're not being practical. You have your hands in the clouds. Ain't somchin al hanes. You have to go to six shatchanim, not five. They call that ain't somchin al hanes. That's how we live, and we do live like that because we're in this world where Hashem is invisible, and we don't see the gzar din, and we don't see Hashem running the world. And it's the most difficult. And it gets even more difficult because you have to do ishtadlus. Like if that wasn't enough to make our lives miserable, Hashem threw into the pot that you have to do ishtadlus. And according to the Chazal Halachos, it's not only mutter to, but it's an obligation to. So that means I have to do certain things, but I have to believe that what I'm doing is illusory and not real. And really Hashem is providing me, but Hashem demands of me that I go through the motions of that I'm the one creating my own reality. And if I don't, I get an Aveira. That's the Aveira. If you don't do Ishtadlus, it's an Aveira. If you don't have Bitachon, I hesitate to call it an Aveira. But I do know that if you don't do Ishtadlus, you get an Aveira, because Hashem wants us to do Ishtadlus. That's like Bafeirish. That's clear. So then the Chayim Holos comes along and says, okay, but only till 2 o'clock, not till 3 o'clock. Oh boy, come on. Then we revert back to, that's what I mean, we're happy about the Chiyuv of Ishtadlus, but we're happy not. If we really were holding with Bitachon, we'd be sad about the Chiyuv of Ishtadlus. We wouldn't be happy, we would be sad. But it's very hard. Bitachon, that's why we keep learning it over and over. But no matter how many times you learn it, it's hard. And it's even harder than that. Because all the things we're learning are principles and rules and ideas, and then you want to apply it to everyday life, and all of a sudden you say, I can't work until 2 o'clock. My boss will fire me tomorrow. Okay, that's how Hashem is giving you more money than you need. Hashem has no problem with people having more money than they need. Hashem likes it. So how did he maneuver that I should have more money than I need? That even if I want to have the most bitachon-oriented life in the world, I have to work past 2. Because else my boss will fire me and I won't be doing basic ishtadlus. Because I won't have a job. So I have to work till 6. I have to, or I'll get fired. Okay, that's how Hashem is providing me with more money. I decided to go into a profession that pashtus pays more money than the shelf stacker in the supermarket. Okay, that's how Hashem is providing me with more money. That's all. No, nothing wrong with that.
So why shouldn't he think that Hashem will provide another job there he can work till 2 o'clock?
Because there's no that's what the Chaim Salvos is saying. That there's no heter for that. If your boss will fire you if you don't work past 2, or if you're, let's say, a doctor and you're in a community where really people need you. But I don't know, I have my doctor in my neighborhood, not really my neighborhood anymore. Dr. Stein on Sirotskin. So he's a doctor now already 30 years, whatever, 40 years. So he learns first Seder, second Seder. He opens up his doors 8 p.m. at night, and he's open till 12:01. And the place is packed, and that's what he decided, how he decided to live his life. And it's always full of people. And it's very frustrating sometimes, because you go there like you have to. You have to give your whole evening. Doesn't matter when your appointment is. Like, maybe if you have the first appointment of the day, you'll only have to wait an hour. Because he always walks in with 3 emergencies hanging onto his coat. Like 3 emergencies. So you have the first, I always take the first appointment of the day. So I don't have to wait more than an hour. That's legitimate. That's how he decided to live his life. He learns morning Seder, second Seder. He still grabs on the salvation, and that brisk. And he's a doctor in Asian. I have my friend doctor in America. So he's a doctor 6 hours a day, 7 hours a day, 8 hours a day, and he gets up 4 in the morning to 4:30 in the morning, and he learns, and he doesn't seek him. and then he doctors, and then he learns in the afternoon for an hour and a half, and then he sleeps and naps, and then he doctors again a few hours, and then he learns, and then he goes to sleep. That's his life. Learning, doctoring, and sleeping. But he's already, that's how he decided to live his life. He doesn't do it for the money. Now in America, you don't make money anymore when you're a doctor. Hashem has the last laugh on the doctors. Okay, I don't know, these are difficult issues. Again, we're learning Chavis HaLvavos because we're learning the principles. And the ground of Perek Dalid, which is the practical application, is not really practical, because everybody's life story is different. Everyone's nisyonos are different. Everyone's needs are different. Right? It ain't sof. Everybody has different needs. Everybody has different nisyonos. Everybody has different. But you learn the principles, and if you apply the principles as best as you can to your life, so you'll be a better person for it. That's for sure. The more you acquire bitachon, maybe you have to go back. If you say, I can't figure any of this out anyway, so I'll just forget the whole thing. So the answer is, go back and read the Psicha, to Shaar HaBitachon, his introduction. And it's the longest Psicha of any of the Psichas to all the Shaarim. And he lists the benefits of having Bitachon. So to whatever degree you have Bitachon, you'll be less stressed. You'll be more connected to Hashem. I'm like going through the benefits now. You'll be more independent. You won't do what other people do. You'll be able to have your own principles and ideas and values. Right? You won't do things that are spiritually damaging. You won't do things that are physically damaging to you. Right? You won't say, the only thing, I must take this job or else I'll starve to death, and it's something that's debilitating to you physically. Right? You won't go to work in a coal mine. It's ruining your lungs. Okay. That's down to you.